you would, let's open up our Bibles to John chapter 14. A word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, one more time we come to you today. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for the services that we're able to be in, dear Lord. Thank you for the strength, dear Lord, to be able to be up this morning and this afternoon and be in the house of God. And thank you for our mind to be able to read the Word and, dear Lord, to interpret the Word, dear Heavenly Father, and have the Spirit to deliver it to us, dear Heavenly Father. We're just thankful for so many things, dear Lord. And most of all, we're thankful for a hope that we have of heaven one day. Dear Heavenly Father, as we were talking to someone this morning and we're talking about the pains of the body, Lord, one day we'll lay down these old bodies, and the Bible lets us know we'll get a new body, Lord, that won't be subject to the things of this world, that won't be subject to time, won't be subject to age, won't be subject to any of the burdens that we face, dear Lord, but we'll receive that new body. And Lord, we desire that one day. We want to make heaven a home. And Heavenly Father, we were singing, our Sister Ann was singing that song, and my mind just started to think about it some, dear Lord. And dear Heavenly Father, sometimes we think about heaven and we think that it's somewhere way off in the distance. But Lord, it won't be long for many of us, dear Lord, and even for the most of us, dear Heavenly Father, we'll be crossing that throne one day. And dear Lord, we want to be faithful. We want to be faithful today. We want to be true where we can. Let's get things straightened up in our lives. Get things straightened up with anybody that we need to, dear Heavenly Father, especially you, dear Lord, that we may enter into heaven with a clear conscience, dear Lord, and hear well done. That's our desire. So, Lord, we ask you to be with us, dear Lord, and bless us in a special way. We ask you to bless the message tonight and see some of the thoughts that I have. We ask you to anoint the word, anoint the message that our brain needs would have us to. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. In John chapter 14, very familiar verses here that Jesus was speaking to his disciples starting in verse 1 as he was dealing with them. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." There's a word, there's a statement we should meditate on sometimes, as some of the things we were talking about just this evening. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would tell you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Verse 5, "And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Jesus is letting the disciples know here, and I say many, many times, and I say, Lord, help us. You know, he's talking to his disciples and having a conversation to him, and we can sort of see a little bit of hidden understanding for Jesus as you go on down through there, as Thomas and him had a little bit of a comment and things. And Jesus is wanting them to go, as I talked a little bit about this morning, about going deeper. Jesus is wanting them to start having a spiritual mindset, to go deeper into the things of God. And we know that really didn't get accomplished until after Pentecost, after Jesus had died and ascended and rose and ascended back to heaven, and then the Spirit of God came and to help them there. But I believe he's trying to help them some and get them to go a little deeper. But Jesus is telling his disciples that he's preparing a place for them. And not just them, not only them, but for all them that love his appearing. And that verse that I just quoted there is, you can find over in 2 Timothy chapter. You don't have to go over there because we're going to stay right here for a moment. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "From henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only me also, or not only me, only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do you look for his appearing one day? Do you desire his appearing? When I think about that particular verse of scripture, in one side there's a sadness, and one side there's a joyfulness. Saints, I believe we need to live in such a way that we look forward to him coming. I'm not saying I'm desiring that we die today or tomorrow or this week or whatever, but we look forward to him, live our lives to where we're ready. Live our lives as the one man that left his talents there to different men. One, he left, I think it was 5 talents and 2 talents and 1 talent, and he went away to his journey, and when he came back desiring to see some things. And of course, the one man had gained double, and the other man had gained double, but the one man didn't do anything, and then penalty was put upon him. But when Jesus said he's coming back, the Bible lets us know he's coming back, and we, the Bible, believe, we can read in the Word of God, the Bible lets us know he's not coming back to set up a kingdom here. He's not coming back to this earth and reign upon this earth. He's already done that once. He's already established his kingdom. He's already died. He's already went back to heaven. And he said he's coming back again to take his church to heaven and to having a great judgment. That's when the end of this world will come to a place. But Jesus is trying to get them to understand some things. And I think about when he says that Paul mentioned that over there, in Timothy, 2 Timothy, that love his appearing. There are many people in the world that are walking around saying, I'm a Christian. There are many people in the world say, oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I appreciate Jesus. But on that day when he comes back again, there's going to be great terror. Those same people that say, oh, I love Jesus, they raise their hand, they wear little tags saying, I love Jesus, or a cross, or a fish symbol in their car, they're going to be great terror. They're going to hide themselves for Christ when he comes. They're not really loving his appearing because they know at that time their sins are going to take them to a judgment bar. But those of us that are saved, those that are desiring to live for him and do our best, it says that we shall love his appearing. In verse 4 here in John, Jesus says, whether I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. Jesus says here, ye will know the way. I thank God. I believe by the grace of God, by the help of the Lord, I know the way. I thank God for that. I mentioned a little bit this morning. I thank God I know the way to make heaven my home. I thank God that I know I need to come to a place through repentance, through Jesus Christ, to make heaven my home and to live free from sin. I thank God for that. I understand that. As I talked about this morning, the song that I said, salvation, that word so divine, it means something to me. I understand that thought. And he says there, Jesus says, whether I go, you know, and the way you know. I believe that we can know the way to heaven. Clearly. Not a little bit of shadow here, or not clear, or maybe not crystal clear here. I believe we can know the way to heaven. I believe we can know what's pleasing to God. You know, Brother Danny, I was thinking of Brother Danny this morning when he was mentioning that thought, you know, sometimes when we do things in life and, you know, somebody can show us maybe a different way. You know, I trying to think of something that was recently, not too long ago, but, you know, Brother Harley and I were talking about something. But anyway, you could do something. You can be taught something at a young age, or whether it's work or whatever it is, and you can do the same process for years, and I've faced it in my own job, and do the same thing for years, but somebody else can show you something different. And hey, that's kind of a little bit of an easier way. Yeah. That's kind of a better way, an easier way to do things. I've learned that too. But in the things of God, there's only one way. I was singing that song a little bit, playing it back here, and I know it's in the course book in Hagerstown. I know we don't have it. I don't think we do. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way. And Jesus lets them know that here. There's only one way. And I thank God for that, and I thank God that we can know the way. I don't know if Linda remembers this many, many, many years ago. I don't even know if she was married yet. But she had a bike. And she was with George at the time, and he did body and fender work, painting and things. And he said, get the bike apart, and I'll take it to work. and paint it. And that's what he did. So I took the bike apart. I'm only probably 10, I think. I don't know if I was, because you weren't married. I think you got married in 76, somewhere around there. So, and I was born in 64. So I probably might have been 10, maybe 11, maybe, I don't know. So I take her bike all apart and I put it in a box. And I remember George, he took the thing and painted it and he brought it back. And I was excited. I was excited. I got it out and I sat it there. I remember sitting it on the back porch and I sat down and I realized I had not a clue how to put that thing back together. And I realized the embarrassment, the sweat, and I cried and things. My daddy come out there and he put it. I didn't have a clue. I didn't, and that never came to my mind until that very second. I'm like, I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue what I'm doing with this. I was able to take it apart. That's easy. You can get it off them apart. But to get it back together. I thank God. You know, salvation is hidden sometimes to those that don't desire heaven. And God, but those that desire it, God says, I can show you the way. Jesus told Nicodemus one time when Nicodemus came to him, he said, how do I make heaven my home? You must be born again. Clearly. He told the rich young ruler when he came to him, he goes, how do I make heaven? I want to make heaven my home. And he gave him some things to do. And he told him some things to do. And he told him the very thing that he needed to do. I think it's over in Jeremiah. In the day that you seek me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that's when you shall find me. I thank God that we can know. Things won't be hidden. Things won't be hidden from us as far as the good things of God. We can still stay here. We're going to come back here. But in 2 Corinthians, it talks about that a little bit in chapter 4 and verse 3. He says, but if our gospel be hidden, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of this glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 4, it says, and whom the God, which is a small g, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. I say, Lord, help us to pray for them. Millions upon millions of people, their minds are blinded. They don't know the way. Or they think there's another way. They're traveling a different way, but they don't know the way. And he says in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, help us, Lord. As Sister Linda mentioned, that lady, I don't know how she was dressed or how she held and thing, but something told that lady in the store there that and impressed on her that Sister Linda was a Christian. Let me tell you what, God can impress on people they can be a Christian, but if they don't desire to follow that way, God can hide those things. Jesus said many parables one time, and the disciples asked him one time, why do you give parables? And over in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 11, it says, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Saints, we don't need to take it lightly. If you know the way to make heaven, you know the way to get saved, you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, we don't need to take it lightly and just misuse that, so to speak. We need to honor and we need to respect and we need to hold that close to us and dear to our heart. There's only one way. But we see Thomas say here in verse 5, and I always wondered about this verse and always wondered what was in Thomas's mind sometimes, and I guess Thomas is talking about traveling here, basically, not going to heaven, but Jesus talked about heaven in the first several verses. But in verse 5, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, how can we know the way? I'm guessing Thomas is talking about traveling. I'm guessing that's what he's talking about. Lord, we don't know which way you're going. We don't know if you're going to Jerusalem, we don't know if you're going to Galilee, we don't know where you're going. We don't know which way you're going. We don't know what's in your mind. But that wasn't what Christ was talking about. But that's what Thomas was, I feel that's what he was indicating in this verse of Scripture. And in verse 6, Jesus said unto, I am the way. How can we know the way? Do you know the way? Do you know the way? I preached a message last week or the week before, and my message was there is power in the gospel. I think it was during Kent meeting that thought came to my mind, and I brought that message about it. there is power in the gospel. As I've said in the message many a times, I know I do. If I'm dealing with someone or talking to someone, we try to figure out a way to tell them how to get saved, or tell them how to make heaven, or tell them about Jesus Christ. You know what God just brought to me? You just give them the gospel. You just give them the gospel. Jesus said, I am the way. And this little bit of conversation here between him and the disciples and Thomas and everything, that's why I feel Jesus is like, Thomas, I want you to get established in your spiritual mind to go a little deeper into things, not to worry about whether I'm going to Galilee or I'm going to here or there or whatever, but to Thomas to get a little deeper. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Many times we go on vacations. It was interesting as just last week or the week before last, and we're planning on a vacation with Doug and Kim and the boys in December. And I've flown a lot, gotten hotels a lot, and had to make arrangements a lot, but they aren't used to that. And I just forgot that they weren't used to that. I said, go ahead, take care of it. Let me know what we're doing. And I'm like, wait a minute, what about this? And what about that? And what about this? There's plans that you make. You set up plans and know the way, how you're going to get from point A to point B and here and there and everything. There's plans that we need. We have hotel plans. We have a plane. We have a car. We have activities, all these things. And we also know that there can be problems with reservations and all those things. But we can figure out the way. I've thought about sometimes, people can say, when I was young and I started to drive, I give you this little story one time when I just started to drive. Us today, we could drive probably almost anywhere within 100 miles and not even need to worry about a road map or a GPS. When I first started to drive, Aunt Sissy was down. How many of you remember Two Guys? Remember Two Guys? She was down there, and I think she locked her keys in the car or something. So Mom, give me another set of her keys. She's running to Two Guys. I'm like, I don't know how to get the Two Guys. So she tells me, she says, you go down Eastern Avenue, you take the Beltway, and this is where the mistake came in. She goes, when you come around the loop, she goes, get all the way to your right-hand lane, okay? Right-hand lane. Well, when you come around that loop, you're already in your right-hand lane. But in my mind, I'm thinking, get all the way over to your right-hand lane. So I went all the way over. Next thing, and I'm headed to the Key Bridge. I don't have a clue where I'm even going. I don't even know where I'm. I mean, thank the Lord there was one of them turnarounds. You're not supposed to turn around. Well, I'm turning around. I went back, get back on Eastern Avenue. I'm thinking, where did I make? All the way to the right-hand lane. That's, I'm thinking, okay, that's where I made the mistake. But we know some things. And as we've learned some things, I know how to drive here. I know how to drive there. But if you were to tell me to drive to Florida or tell me to drive to Maine, I have an understanding of how now to get to those places. I thank God we can know the way to heaven. Jesus can teach us the way to heaven. Verse 6 there, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We talked this morning and a little bit this evening about trusting the way that God directs. And as Jesus says, I am the way. I've used this verse many times and in my own personal encouragement and other people's personal encouragement, sometimes we can get in situations in life and we don't know what direction to turn. And I've used this thought with that when Jesus says, I am the way. If I'm in this room and I need to go out that way, there's no door. I'm not talking about that door. I need to get outside the building there. If this place is on fire and I'm stuck right here, I need to get out there, not thinking about the wind or anything like this. And this is just a scenario of a spiritual application here. Jesus said, well, there's no way to go outside the building. God says, I can make a way. I can make a door where there's a door. And I'm talking spiritually now, not talking about natural anything. But the Lord brought that thought that I was giving somebody some counsel about that years ago, and it's encouraged me. When it doesn't seem like there is a way to the problem, the situation in my life, Jesus says, I can provide a way. I can make a way. I am the way that you need to take to get into any problems that you have to get out of. The children of Israel, when they left Egypt, God took them by the way of the Red Sea. But there was a different way. I want you to read that. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 13. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 and 18, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt." God said, you know, I could take you by the way of the land of the Philistines. But God says there's war there. We talked about that a little bit this morning. Lord, that doesn't look like that looks like a better path, and I don't want to take that path. God says, this is the path I need you to take. See, I don't know that maybe down the road, a year or two or five or 10 years down the road, there could be something down there that because of our choice, God won't help us. God won't take care of us through that because of our choice. Because of us, as Brother David said, Lord, I need to surrender to you. I need to just give everything, God, to you and allow you to lead and direct the path in my life. There's only one way for me to make heaven my home. And Lord, I need to have trust in you. Now this way, Lord, it looks like a difficult way, but God says, I can give you the grace to go through there. The children of Israel, he said here in this verse 17, he said, it looked like the people could go through, that God had them go through the way of the land, although that was a nearer way. God said, no, that's not the way I want you to go. That's not the way. I'm going to take you a different way, which almost to us, when we look at it, seems to be a dead-end road, so to speak. As I mentioned about the door, the wall there, God took them to the Red Sea. There is no other way. We're done. We're finished. Pharaoh and his army is coming. There is no way. What happened? God made a way. God opened up that Red Sea, allowed the wind to blow and to dry the ground out, and they walked across that Red Sea on dry ground. God provided a way for them when there was no way. We need to have confidence in that. We need to have faith in that. God can provide. Elijah was in a land of a famine, and he had a widow woman to take care of him, to provide him, to sustain him. Gideon had to fight against the Midianites. Always like that story. Starts out with 32,000 men. Not a bad group of people. How many of us would fall into the next category? Those that are fearful, tell them to go home. 22,000 men left. I'm going home too. Remained 10,000. God said, no, I can't do it, Gideon. I have to still cut you down some. So he told those 10,000 to go down to the riverbank there. And he said, those that go down to the riverbank and they had to drink out the water of the riverbank, they had to get on their hands and knees and lap up the water like a dog, send them home. But those that get down on maybe one knee, they still got an idea of watching for an enemy and soup up the water and drink it out of their hand. They're the ones that I'm going to use, Gideon. By the time he had 10,000 men, by the time that was over, there was only 300 men left. And they didn't even have to fight. God provided a way. Help us, Lord. Jesus says, I am the way. The song we sang this morning, though a fair way may the human may seem, by human this looks like a better way, by our human standards this looks like a better way, and there's not a one of us in here that hasn't, as Sister Ansa has questioned God, Lord, this would be a better way. This is the way that I'm going to show you some things. You know, that way necessarily may not be a problem, but that way may not have any challenges where God's going to take you. You know, if God would have taken Egypt or Israel and taken them out of Egyptian bondage and taken them right to the land of Canaan, and give them the land, what would have benefited? But if you remember, even after he took them through the Red Sea and they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, and then the spies go into the Jericho there, and then Rahab there, Rahab said, "We have heard what God did for you in the Red Sea and in Jordan River. We've heard all that." And our hearts had melted. We need to understand sometimes that as saints of God, God may desire to use you and I. Sister Linda, that lady, whoever she was talking to, God used Sister Linda. And she's given her testimony sometimes. As we've often said, as the sisters, it's a little more difficult for the sisters than the men. I can go into it. I've walked in Home Depot. I've walked in stores looking like this. Nobody would think anything different. I'm a businessman. But when you walk in and the ladies have a dress on and the long hair and the no jewelry and all those things, there's a look of godliness. There's a look of modesty. People will recognize. And God says, well, it may be difficult. It may be a different track than the rest of the world. But God says, I'm going to use you as a light into the world. Any that are afraid, go home. Jesus said, I am the way. There's many roads we travel in life. But there's only one road that will lead us to truth. And I believe that God will never lead one soul wrong. Those that desire truth, they'll be led into truth. And people can choose God and be led into the right way. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the door, I am the light of the world. Are we following that? Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, there is a way, there's another way, which seems right to you and I. And I've had to pray, Lord, help me to accept your way and not my way. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. There's a lot of people traveling a different way. There's a lot of people coming up with their own mind, their own ideas, their own ways to make heaven their home. But there's only one way. It saddens my heart that there are people in the world that believe, as I mentioned before, my boss that is now the owner of the company, he is a Jew and things, and the Jews do not accept Jesus Christ. They only accept Jesus Christ. They're not going to make heaven. Jesus says, I am the way. Any man that doesn't accept me will not see my Father, will not accept, able to be in my Father's presence. And many times people will come up with that. There is another way. There is a way that seemeth right. In our minds, in our thinking, we can think, well, this is a good way. You know, it seems to be a good way. Sometimes people are just good people. I live a good standard life. I pay my taxes, I go to work, I provide for my family, my children, I raise my children right, teach them the right way, I do things good to my community, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't gamble, I don't do all those things. I'm a good moral person. Sounds great. Well, the rich young ruler was that way. He came to Jesus, he says, what must I do? And Jesus says, you know the commandments, do this, this, this. He goes, I've done all these things from my youth up. He goes, but there's still a problem. And he didn't make heaven. Proverbs tells us there is a way that seems right. We have to, as Brother David said, we need to surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ and accept his way beyond our way. Let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, picking up in verse 1, Jesus says here, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up another way, the same is a thief and a robber. And he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he hath put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. You know, I don't know a whole lot about sheep or anything. But you know, I know some things about some animals and dogs. I'll tell you what, a dog knows who owns them. I'm assuming the sheep the same way, animals. Animals know. Now, they may not know the very first day. When I'm assuming the sheep are somewhat the same, but an animal, a horse, whatever it is, a cow, up here on the farm, Lynn and I had gone up there the other day to meet with, you know, visit with the family and everything, and me and one farmer, we walked around back to the farm, and Lynn, she went in with Kathy, the owner. She was going in to milk cows, and so she went in there in the milking parlor, and so when I went up there, and I've been in there many a times, and when I go in there, those cows know that you don't belong. and the milking parlor, they're all in their stages, and you go down in a little pit, and then that's where they milk them and all that. They got machines and everything now. But when I'm in there, and I'll step down on the steps when they get done so the cows can go by, and there'll be a cow here, and he'll go behind me and go on out that way. He won't move, or she won't move. See, they won't move. I'm like, I got to go down inside the pit and walk around. He's got a tap. There, they know I'm strange, but they know them. And Kathy was saying, she says, well, this one was the first time it was milked since whatever. It was a young cat or cow, and that one was, and this one was, but that one. I said, how do you know? How do you know? You probably, I don't know, they got probably 80, 90 cows. She says, we do it every day, twice a day, for all year round. She goes, we know every single cow. They know them. Animals know who they belong to. They know horses and dogs and those things. And Jesus says here that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. I want to follow Christ. Here's the word of God. Show me the word of God. Help me, Lord, not to get too big of a head to think I can do it on my own. I can make this on my own. I can figure this out. I need the Spirit of God. I need the direction from God. We read down to verse 5. Let's jump on down to verse 7. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I thank God that when I hear a message that's not with the Bible, it's a dead sound. When I hear somebody preach something or make a comment that doesn't go with the Word of God, there's a dead gong. Ever ring a bell? Ever hold on to a bell? Lynn got a bell somewhere just recently. She was, I think, when she was West Virginia, they went to some little tiny thrift store or something. She got this bell, and it's an old bell. I mean, that thing is loud. But any bell, you grab the bell itself, boom, 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 boom. But you grab the handle, it rings true. And I thank God that when somebody preaches the gospel under the now anointing of the Spirit of God, saints, we need to be deep enough to have an understanding to where, hey, there's something wrong if they're not preaching the true Word of God. There's something wrong in the message. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and will follow. A stranger, they won't. Just like those cows. If I'd have walked in there and tried to get them cows to come in and do what I wanted, I'd have probably had a mess. They wouldn't have listened to me. They'd have probably went the other way. After maybe a few weeks and they got used to me, that might have been the thing. But the same thing with saints of God. We want to know the Word of God in such a way and have the understanding of the Spirit of God to where when somebody preaches the Word of God, it sounds and rings true. It's a good sound to it. Verse 1, he says two things here. Jesus says in verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up another way, the same is as a thief and a robber." In verse 7, he says somewhat the same. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers." We need to have an understanding about that too. If they're not teaching and preaching the Spirit of God, the Word of God and its fullness, Jesus says, they're a thief and a robber. And they're coming for a purpose. He says they're coming, but to destroy. Where did it say that somewhere? I didn't write it down. But he says, what was that?
Verse 10.
Verse 10. Jesus says in verse 10 there, he says, if they're not preaching my word, if they're not teaching like I want it, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill. I tell you, that's a serious situation. Somebody preaches that Jesus Christ is not the way to make heaven your home. Somebody preaches that baptism saves you. Somebody teaches that certain things are not the Word of God. He says that a thief and a robber, and they come to steal and kill and to destroy. "I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." Help us, Lord, to have a desire for the true Word of God. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, picking up in verse 59. "And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And he said, let the dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at the house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put in his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." There's only one way. When Christ calls us to be a child of God, we need to forsake all. We need to put everything on the back burner, so to speak. And I've mentioned this, and I believe we understand this. These two thoughts here with these men, that didn't mean that the man had just died and they're having a funeral. In verse 59 and 60 there, it doesn't mean that the man's father just died and they're having a funeral. And he says, "Jesus, let me go bury him first and I'll come follow you." What he was talking about is his father's of age, but he's not dead. He's alive. I want to wait till dad's gone. Wait till things are settled at home. And every one of us understand that kind of scenario, that sometimes we get attached to mom and dad, or to even a wife or something. We get attached to something, a job or something. Wait till this is over. I've always, the Lord helped me with this with the devil many years ago. He always does that. Wait, when you're a teenager, wait till you get out of school so the peer pressure won't be there when you get out of school to get saved. Then when you get out of school, well, why don't you wait till you get married and then you have children? Well, why don't you wait till your children are grown up? And then when they're grown up, why don't you wait until you're ready to retire, and then you can give your heart to God and give everything to God? And the devil brought that thought to my mind one time, and the Lord brought to my thought also. He goes, then when we get retired, then the devil comes to you and says, you know what? You wasted your life. You should have got saved back there at 17 or 13 or whatever. You should have got saved back then and given God your life. Now you've wasted it, and the devil says, you're not worth anything now. That's how the devil works. Let's wait. Wait till something else. Wait till my dad's gone. In the next verse there, he says, let me go and bid farewell. He means let me get the favor of those. You know, when the thought of me becoming pastor, and I talked to my mom and dad about it, and they didn't have a whole lot to say about it. But I asked them. I said, you know, I like to have your support with it. And I might have even asked them about maybe being in service a little bit, coming to service. That wasn't a thought for them. Well, we'll see about that, is what they said. And I was just telling them, it was something exciting to me. Just telling them, they were mom and dad. But that wasn't their response of joy. And, you know, we have to go on. Our families won't necessarily be in favor of us being a Christian. They won't support us in being a Christian. Won't support us in being in a ministry or a pastor or whatever. They may not be supportive at all. But we have to go on with Jesus Christ. There's only one way to make heaven. My last verse here, same chapter. Let's back up to verse 20, or same chapter, chapter 9, verse 23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 24 again, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. I want to do things my way. I want to put things first in my life. I want to be married. I want to have a job. I want to have children. I want to do all these things first, Lord. Let me have my life and my enjoy. And then, if I got time, I'll give you yours. Jesus says, whosoever will save his life, whosoever desires the things of his life, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose your soul. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it. You know, Brother Greg testified to us many years ago. His dad, from what I remember, his dad told him before, thank the Lord, I believe his dad got saved at the end and he died saved. But his dad told him, when after Brother Greg became, I think, a minister and things, he told him, he says, you're wasting your life. Mm-hmm. Brother Greg's a very educated man. May have been an accountant and things or whatever, had his mind that way. But he told him, you're wasting your life going into the ministry. That's what the way our family looks at it. What way do we choose? The Bible lets us know that this way, living for Jesus Christ, it's a straight way. It's a narrow way. It's a difficult way. And what way will you travel? God gives us a choice. God will not force us to choose His way. God will not beg us to choose His way. But He gives us a choice. Our goal in life is to make heaven, and there is only one way. And if anybody were to try to teach you or persuade you another way, Paul said that one time, oh, an angel from heaven come and preach to you some other gospel, believe it not. But believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Let's turn to my songbook, page 375. 375. My dear.
I love thee, my dear.